Acts chapter 3, and while you're headed there, put that on your calendars for missions conventions coming up in just 4 weeks. That's going to be a fantastic weekend together in the Lord's presence and getting vision to share the good news of Jesus. And then in just 2 weeks, the Harvest Festival is coming up. So 2 weeks from this evening, there will be no Saturday service that weekend, October 31st. And as was mentioned, there is a form, a flyer there in your program that you can use to check that out, see how you might be able to volunteer. Maybe you can host a trunk of treats. It's always one of the big highlights of the year, and we're going to have a lot of fun and some good fellowship 2 weeks from tonight at the Harvest Festival. Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." I always like it when God heals the most recognizable person in the city. Isn't that great? Verse 11, "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now I want you to flip over with me to the next chapter, to Acts chapter 4. I'm just going to read a couple of verses beginning at verse 7. Acts 4 and 7, Peter and John now have been arrested. And Luke tells us, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Now, we should point out that this doesn't mean which name. In the Greek, it actually means something like what kind of power or what kind of name. "And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole.'" This evening, we want to build your faith for healing and build up your faith in the name of Jesus. Everywhere we look within the New Testament, we see the healing power of God at work. Jesus taught his disciples that healing is one of the signs that the kingdom of God has come near to us. Healing is an indication that God is graciously reaching out to people with the love of Jesus. Healing is an invitation from heaven to taste and see that the Lord is good, that he is a good God who cares about people, who cares about our needs. He not only cares about our spiritual needs, but he cares about physical suffering as well. When we see people being healed in the name of Jesus, it's an indication that God wants to magnify the name of the Lord. He wants the name of Jesus to receive praise and honor from men. So tonight, let's look at healing and the name of Jesus. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for people in Jesus' name. And I believe that we're going to see God at work in our midst. Amen. The title of my message this evening is Have Faith in Jesus' Name. Have faith in Jesus' name. Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister life to us from the Word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Word. It is a wonderful gift to us. It is truly a lamp for our feet, and it is a light for our pathway. Jesus, you said that the Word of God is like seed. So we ask you that our hearts might be good soil in this time, soil that can receive and retain and bear fruit from the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, when was the last time you thought about the meaning of your name? Some people never give their names a second thought. Some have done a lot of digging into the meaning of their names. I want to ask by a show of hands tonight, how many of you know the meaning of your first name? It's a lot of you, most of you. How many of you know the meaning of your last name? A few, not quite so many. Some of us have names that are relatively common. Some of us have names that maybe were common at the time we were born, but they're not so common anymore. You know, according to the Social Security Administration, these were the most common boys' names last year. See if you can have a see if you have a good idea of what they were. The most common boys' names last year were Noah, Liam, Mason, Jacob, and William. How about that? These were the most common girls' names: Emma, Olivia, Sophia, Isabella, and Ava. Popular names change over time, though, right? If we turn back the clock 100 years to 1915, these were the most popular names. For boys, it was John, William, James, Robert, and Joseph. And for the ladies, it was Mary, Helen, Dorothy, Margaret, and Ruth. Now, some of us, though, have names that are a little more unusual, and so we often hear things that maybe you don't. Things like, how do you spell that? Or, what nationality are you? Some of you are members of the club that I'm in, which is the club of people who have spent their entire lives being mispronounced. Shakespeare famously asked, what's in a name? And sometimes there's actually quite a bit in a name. You know, when we hear certain names, many times we experience a flash of recognition or a flash of feelings as well. Our minds react instantly when you hear a name like Elvis or Madonna or Adolf or Judas. In the ancient world, names were important, probably more important than today. Names were believed to reveal a person's nature and character, and names often gave insights into a person's destiny. In our culture, sometimes we choose names based on how they sound. Sometimes people even just make up a name for their child because they like the sound of it. But in the culture of Israel, this was not the case. A name stood for the person who carried it. It represented him. A person's name was a prophetic marker. It was meant to encourage someone and point him to a good future in the Lord. You may not know the meaning of your name, but in Israel, names were considered a blessing or a curse depending on their literal meaning. David's name means beloved, and that was probably an encouragement to him throughout his entire life. On the other hand, maybe you've heard of Jabez. His name meant pain. How would you like to explain that to people every single day of your life? Jabez's mother had a bad experience giving birth, and apparently she wanted to make sure everybody in Israel knew it. But Jabez used that name and that experience to draw closer to God, and ultimately he was blessed. So if you don't like your name, hold on, there's hope. Sometimes people in Jabez's situation, though, decide they've got no choice but to change their name if they want to change their destinies. And maybe you've changed your name in order to get a fresh start in life. You know, even today, people in other countries often change their names when they come to faith in Jesus Christ because their birth names are connected to other gods. They want to sever that connection. This may be especially true of people coming out of Islam or Hinduism. They no longer want their names to refer to the gods of those religions. Many Christian people in Asia use the name Masih, which means Messiah. It's a way of saying, I belong to him now. Your name and the reputation that goes along with it is one of the most important things that you own. The Bible says a good name is better than ointment. And in the Bible, much like in our own society, you could also use another person's good name. That's what we're talking about tonight. To use a person's name means to stand in the place of the person whose name you're using. It means you get to use the good name of another person, maybe somebody whose name carries just a little more weight than your name does. In Israel, a man could appoint someone to use his name and to act on his behalf. We first see this in the Bible when Abraham sent his servant Eleazar to find a wife for his son Isaac. By the way, how many of you know that you really have to trust somebody to let them pick out a spouse for your child? Amen? The whole thing may seem a little odd to you and me, but in that culture, they were accustomed to delegating to people a tremendous amount of authority, and people on the other side of the transaction understood that dealing with a messenger was considered to be the same thing as dealing with the man who had sent the messenger. In the ancient world, you could prove that someone was your personal messenger by giving him letters of authorization. You might also give him a ring to wear. The Romans had signet rings, which they used to stamp documents in wax. So in Rome, if you wore somebody's ring, it didn't mean you were going steady, but it could mean that you were authorized to do business on behalf of somebody else. Now, the closest thing probably that we have to this in our society would be a power of attorney document. And the word attorney can mean more than just someone who represents you in court. It can also mean somebody that you appoint to handle things in your personal life. When you give someone a power of attorney, you are appointing them to take care of your affairs. You are giving them authority to handle those things for you. The powers of attorney that most of us might be familiar with give somebody the right to do banking for me, or maybe they let someone make medical decisions for me. Now, this is very important for our discussion about the name of Jesus tonight, so I want you to track with me. You know, if I give my son a power of attorney, then the bank or the hospital has to treat my son as if he were actually me in the flesh. His signature becomes my signature. When it comes to doing business like that, the right to use another man's name can be quite impressive. It all depends on how much power that man has. How much authority does his name hold? Now, if you have the right to use my name, I'm not sure that will do you a tremendous amount of good in this world. But what if you had the right to make investments for Warren Buffett? According to Forbes magazine, Warren Buffett is worth $67 billion. If you had a power of attorney from Warren Buffett, the bank would probably show you a little bit more respect than what you're used to when you go there. Now, I've been taking a couple of minutes to dig into the whole idea of names and their power because people in our culture are not used to thinking about this concept. We typically do not understand the power of names, whether it's in things of this world or whether it's in spiritual things. But when it comes to having authority by using another person's name, we see in the scripture passages that we read this evening that religious people in Jesus' name were very much convinced that one person could use another person's name and that names could carry spiritual power. This is why they asked Peter and John this very unusual question in Acts chapter 4, verse 7. By what power or by what name have you done this? As I said a few moments ago, they were really asking, by what kind of power or what kind of name have you healed this man? In other words, you are using a kind of power. You are using a kind of name that is different, that is unfamiliar to us. It has an impact and it has an effect like no name that we have ever seen. Notice that when somebody got healed, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, knew there were two ways that it could have happened. One way was by the exercise of power, but the other way was by the use of a name. They believed that some names had power, and they fully believed that you could be healed by the authority that was carried in someone's powerful name. Now that may be strange to us, but for them it was normal spiritual thinking, and it's also biblically accurate. So this is the question we need to explore tonight. If being able to use the name of the richest man in the world, or the president of the United States, or some other similar figure, if that's a powerful thing, what would happen if you understood your right to use the name of the man who had been put in charge of running the universe? What if you had the right and you understood the right that you had to use the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let's look at a simple way to understand how authority works when we're thinking about names. There are two questions to ask ourselves, and you might have already figured this out, but let's walk through this. Question one is this: spiritually speaking, how much power does a man's name have? And the answer is this: as much power as that man himself possesses. So how much power does someone's name have? As much power as the man himself possesses. The second question is a little more personal. How much power do I have when I'm using somebody else's name? How much power do I have when I'm using somebody else's name? The answer to that question is as much power as he has given me. As much power as he has given me. So how do we operate in the authority of another person? Let's think for a moment about how a chain of command, a chain of authority, or the flow of authority works. So can you put your thinking cap on with me for just a second? First, someone in power wants to achieve some goal. Someone in power, someone in authority wants to achieve a goal. Second, what happens next is that person authorizes you or someone to be their agent. Third, that person then spells out what you are permitted to do on their behalf. And then fourth, now that you know that you're authorized to act, you can begin to act on that person's behalf. People at large, people outside of the circle who maybe don't even know you personally, will be forced to recognize that you have authority to act for that person. They will have to recognize that you have authority to act not just in your own name, but in the name of another person. Are you tracking with me? Okay, now that may sound a little technical, so let's look at an example that we can all grab onto. Let's think about what happens when your local town or city creates a police department. Step number one, suppose your city passes a law creating a police department in your city. Now that law tells you what the city wants to do, tells you what the goal is to maintain law and order. Step number two, they need to authorize somebody to act for them. And so the police department commissions men and women to be police officers. And once they're sworn in, police officers have become the agents of the police department and of the city. Third, the city then spells out the authority that its police officers have by describing their powers. Once they do that, the police officers will know exactly how they are allowed to use their authority and use their power. Finally, what happens? The police are commissioned. They now begin to function as police by working according to the guidelines that they have received from above. They are now fully authorized agents with a full understanding of what they can do. That's how authority works. Now let's look at the case of you and me. Let's look at the case of believers in Christ. The Father is the source of all authority, and he gave his authority to his son Jesus. Now we're going to talk about this more in just a minute. But second, Jesus in turn gave us his authority by giving us his name to use. Third, Jesus explains this authority to us in the Bible. He explains to us how it works. He explains some of the things that we are entitled to do in his name and in his place. And then fourth, what happens is we then as believers can begin to exercise the authority that Jesus has given us. That is the flow of authority. It flows from the Father to Jesus to believers. Now, this is why Jesus was impressed with the faith of the Roman centurion. The centurion was a military man, and he understood how authority works. He said, "Jesus, I don't even need you to come to my house. You just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Why did he say that? He said that because he understood. He had figured out that Jesus had received authority from God over sickness, and he knew that authority meant that Jesus, that sickness was obligated to obey Jesus even at a distance. And you and I can develop a strong faith in the name of Jesus, just like that centurion. The Bible tells us that faith comes how? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And if we want to grow in our faith, not only to receive healing for ourselves, but also to pray for others, then we need to hear and learn and remember what the Bible says about healing through the name of Jesus. We need to get those truths into our spirits, and then we will see our faith increase. Faith for healing in the name of Jesus. How many of you have someone in your life that you're believing God for a healing? Come on. How many? Look at those needs. Many, many needs that God wants to touch. And before we pray for people this evening, we're going to look quickly at three important facets of the name of Jesus, three things that we need to understand about using Jesus' name in prayer for healing. And I want to recommend that you take some good notes, study these things more on your own, maybe get the CD or listen to the download, study them more on your own in order to build your faith. But as we look into these truths tonight, even just briefly, I believe that the Holy Spirit will give us insight and help, and some of us will begin to pray for healing with greater faith. Three important things about the name of Jesus, and the first one is this: the power of the name of Jesus. The power of the name of Jesus. As we said, if I can use your name, then I have the legal right to do what you can do. If we are called to use the name of Jesus, then we need to understand how much authority has been placed in Jesus' name. Remember, we said that Jesus was given his authority by God the Father, the source of all authority. When we study the scriptures, we discover what that kind of authority was, and therefore we discover what authority is in Jesus' name. What is the power in Jesus' name? First, the Bible says that God has made Jesus to be Lord. I want you to say that. Say, "Jesus is Lord." Jesus, Lord. Come on, say that again loudly. Declare that. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is the master of men. He's the master of angels. He's the master of demons. If the God of Israel is called the Lord in the Old Testament, then we cannot help but notice that Jesus Christ is called the Lord throughout the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter told the crowd, he said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Christ." Jesus is Lord. Second, Jesus' name has been exalted by God. The name of Jesus has been placed by God above every other name that exists. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeah, give him a hand of praise. He deserves it. And third, Jesus Christ has been seated at the right hand of God. This is the highest place of authority anywhere, bar none. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equally God. This is what our faith teaches. However, the Scripture teaches us also that the Father is the fount or the source of all authority. That's why Jesus said, it's a confusing verse to people sometimes, Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I." But you see, the Bible also says that Jesus has been elevated by the Father to be at that same level, to sit alongside him and be equal in this present age in authority to the Father. This is what it means when the Bible tells us in different places that Jesus has been seated at the right hand of the Father. It is the highest seat of power, and it means that everything has been placed under his feet. If Jesus were any higher, he would have to be promoted to a rank higher than God, which is impossible. In Ephesians 1, we read, God seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. What does this mean? To be given the right to use the name of Jesus means you are receiving the right to use the name of the person who holds the most authority in all of creation, the right to use the name which is above every name. He occupies the highest place of all. So the first important thing we need to get into our spirit is the reality of the power of the name of Jesus. The second truth we need to grasp is this: we have been given the privilege to use the name of Jesus. We have been given the privilege to use the name of Jesus. We've seen that Peter and John were not carrying any cash on them that day, but the riches that they did possess were far more beneficial for that lame man. They had the right, they had the privilege to use the name of Jesus. When Jesus received authority from his Father, he did not turn around and simply give his authority to the entire human race. Remember how authority works. The right to use another man's name first requires that he specifically gives you his name to use. A power of attorney only authorizes you to do something for me if I put your name in it. Otherwise, you cannot do anything on my behalf. And in just the same way, the privilege to use the name of Jesus is something that belongs to people who are in a covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It belongs to people, and it only belongs to people who are in Christ. Jesus said the authority of his name belongs to those who believe in him. He said, and these signs will follow those who believe. Aren't you glad, by the way, he didn't say these signs will follow pastors? These signs will follow people who've been Christians a very long time? These signs will follow people who have reached 99% perfection? Doesn't say any of those things, but it does say these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, all authority. How much authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. That makes no sense unless by saying that he was also giving them the right to use his name. In other words, he did not say, I have all authority, so I'm going. No, he said, I have all authority, and so I am sending you. He wanted his disciples to keep doing what they already were doing, let's remember, because they had already been using his name to do works of power. And he wants his followers today, he wants you and me to do the same thing, to be bold, to pray for people in the name of Jesus Christ. We've been given that privilege by him. Throughout the Gospels and throughout the book of Acts, people led by the Spirit used the name of Jesus to release the power of God, not just the apostles. It was more than just the 12. It was more than just the 120 that Jesus was referring to, because he said, the one who believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to my Father. That's your birthright as a Christian. Now, people who are not in relationship with God through Jesus Christ cannot exercise his authority. We saw this in the case of some traveling exorcists in Acts 19 who tried to cast out some demons one day in the name of Jesus. Luke says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva. Italians, it's not Sceva, it's Sceva. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And Luke wraps up the story with the important point, the important result of it all. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. We read before how God gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. So the name of Jesus only belongs to the church, to those who trust in him. And it belongs to you today if you're a believer in Jesus. You've been given the privilege to speak to sickness and to demons in the name of Jesus Christ and to set people free. One more thing we need to understand before we go to a time of prayer for healing tonight, and it's this. We need to grasp the purpose of using the name of Jesus. The purpose of using the name of Jesus. What is God's purpose in giving us the name of Jesus? Why do we use his name in healing the sick and so on? Why does God want us to do that? I believe God has a number of purposes, a number of reasons for giving us his name. Worship team, you can come back and help us, please, if you would. First, God wants to magnify the name of Jesus. He wants to magnify the name of Jesus. Everybody say that word, magnify. Magnify. It means to make great. It means to make big, to make large, to spread the fame of his name. And we saw how when those exorcists were defeated by those demonic spirits, the name of Jesus got honor. How? Why? What happened? It was because unbelievers saw when that happened that the name of Jesus was a name like no other name. And whenever something wonderful happens in the name of Jesus, whenever there is a healing in Jesus' name, whenever there's a miracle in Jesus' name, whenever someone has a totally transformative experience in their life in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus is honored and magnified. It draws people's attention to it, to the grace, to the power that is in Jesus Christ. We should pray for the name of Jesus to be honored in this place and in your daily living, in healing, and in signs and wonders, so that the name of Jesus can be magnified. You see, God's intention, Jesus told us this in the Gospels, God's intention in this age is that everyone would give honor to the Son just as they give honor to the Father. Jesus said in John chapter 5, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Listen, so that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Jesus said, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. See, the world is okay with God the Creator, but they don't want to hear about Jesus. But in this present age, the Father wants the name of Jesus to be honored just as the Father is honored. This tells us that God is no longer content to just let people honor him in general. We must give him honor through the Son, through the name of Jesus. And when we demonstrate the power of the name of Jesus, this causes glory to come to his name. It causes people to honor and worship the Son the same as they worship the Father. Second purpose God has is that God wants to demonstrate to the world and to the church Jesus' true identity. He wants to reveal Jesus' true identity. I wish we had more time to talk about this because it's so powerful and beautiful. But if you read Acts chapters 2, 3, and 4, you can see that the power of Jesus' name shows that he is exactly who the apostles said he was. In those three chapters, the apostles call Jesus by a variety of titles, all of which are proven to be true by the fact that Jesus' name carries divine power. See, the apostles called him the one who pours out the Spirit. The apostles called him Lord. The apostles called him Messiah, Christ. The apostles called him the Holy One. The apostles called him the Prince of Life. Some of you should be getting excited right about now. The apostles called him the Son of God. The apostles called him the Cornerstone. The apostles called him the one by whose name we must be saved. All of those are titles that show who Jesus really is. I don't know if you figured it out yet, but he is more than just a poet. He is more than just a philosopher. He is more than just a prophet. And the power in his name proves that he deserves those mighty titles. And that's good preach. And finally, God wants us to continue Jesus' mission by using his name. The book of Acts tells us that the Gospels are about everything that Jesus began to do and teach until he was taken up. Everything that the church has done since Jesus ascended is really just the things that Jesus has been doing through us. Through the name of Jesus, we not only continue his works, but we are called to continue his work. His work of telling people the good news of the kingdom and showing them that in Christ, the kingdom of God has come to us and has been offered to us. When someone gives me a power of attorney, it's not so that I can do my own thing. It's so that I can serve that person and carry out their wishes, not my own wishes. It's about being authorized to work for their good. And in just the same way, Jesus has authorized us to use his name to demonstrate the kingdom of God to people for his great glory. Amen. You know, in Luke chapter 4, all the way at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we get a glimpse of what that beautiful kingdom looks like when it touches our world. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," or the year of the Lord's favor. Church, we need to have faith again in the name of Jesus. We need to understand the purpose of using his name. We need to understand that we've been given the privilege to use that name in prayer and to use it as a weapon to set people free from oppression. And we need to be convinced. If you're not convinced, spend some more time studying it in the Word. But I'm convinced tonight of the incredible authority that God has placed into the name of his Son so that his Son can receive honor just as the Father receives honor. And just like Peter and John at the gate of the temple, we need to learn that Jesus' name, through faith in his name can heal the sick and release miracles of power for people. You can be healed tonight in the name of Jesus, because God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of, say it, Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and in earth. Come on, stand together with me and give the name of Jesus tonight a great hand of praise. Oh, come on. Somebody give Jesus' name a hand and a shout in this place. Hallelujah. As we get ready to move into a time of healing prayer, we're going to sing together. I asked Pastor Jason to sing a song, and I want you to sing it and declare your faith tonight in the healing power of God through Jesus Christ.
So I believe.
hands, and would you just worship Him? Just give glory to the name of Jesus tonight. Father, we exalt the name of Your Son tonight. Father, we believe that You have invested. You have invested all authority in the name of Jesus, Your Son. Even as He said, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and in earth. And we worship You. Jesus, we worship You. We worship Your name. We magnify Your name. We exalt Your name. We say that it is the name that is above every name. We have faith in Your name tonight, Lord Jesus, because we believe that Your name stands for You, and Your name carries Your power. It carries Your authority. We believe that Your name, through faith in Your name, makes people well, makes people strong, makes people whole, Lord God. I want to invite any of our pastors that are in the room this evening and any of our prayer teams that are here, if you would just come to the front, just stand along the front with us and just be prepared to minister. And I'm giving out a very simple call to prayer tonight because we want to leave a good amount of time to pray for people. We're going to pray for you tonight with faith in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that until the Lord returns, it is still the year of the Lord's favor, and He is still healing and setting people free. Amen. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe there is still help for you in Jesus' name. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. So let's have faith in the name of Jesus tonight. We're going to ask the Lord to heal the sick tonight and to meet your needs. And you can come right now and receive prayer for any kind of need. But I especially hope that you're going to come for prayer tonight if you need a physical healing, maybe even a chronic condition. Maybe you've had something for years. Maybe you have a persistent and maybe even a serious disease. Maybe there's serious heart disease in the room. Maybe there's cancer in the room. We're going to lay hands on you tonight and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. This will be our benediction tonight. You're free to go. But if you'd like to receive prayer for healing, Pastor Jason's going to lead us in some more worship and we're going to pray for you. So these altars are open. I want to invite you to come. I want to invite the ushers to be ready. And I want to invite all of you to come and receive prayer tonight. And we're going to reach out in faith and believe for your healing in Jesus' name. So just come as we begin to sing again.
Impossible. Nothing is impossible. cast my cares on the one who cares for me. I cast my cares on the one who cares for me.
I wanna stay close to you.